of Judges, and we're in the life of Samson. Now, last week, we kind of looked at an overview of the life of Samson. Tonight, I want to take us back to verse number 6 and preach a little bit about Manoah, the father of Samson, and the taking place here is God's coming to Manoah's wife and letting her know that a son's going to be born. There were some stipulations of that, and we looked at that kind of in the life of Samson. Basically, Samson was to be a Nazarite. There were certain things, a covenant relationship. And so the application for us is that we are separated to serve the Lord. And I'm telling you, that's not changed. The culture has changed, but the idea of separation has not changed. And we are to be separated servants unto the Lord. Now, I want you to look at the life of Samson and you'll find out what happens if you fail to be separated. If you fail in your separation to God, these are the things that are going to happen. Your eyes are going to be poked out. You're going to lose power with God. Now, not literally, but I'm telling you, you'll lose power with God. You will not accomplish what God would have you to accomplish. Now, the reason that we know that is because we are introduced to the Philistines, a seagoing people from Greece that have come to the region, the northern region of Israel. They're there in Zora, Dan, and they've landed on the coast. They've come in. They've assimilated themselves into this land. And one of the things that they wanted to do was to assimilate among the people of God. And we're to be separated from the world. We're to be separated. And the nation of Israel, that was very clear for them, that they were not to mingle with the Jebusites and the Moabites and the Canaanites. And y'all are still standing. We still hadn't read, have we? All right. So let me get focus here. And I'll get back to, well, let's just look what's happening. You can read it for yourself. Verse 6 says, "Then the woman," that's Manoah's wife, Samson's mother, "came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now," he says to the woman, "drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, "O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, "Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day." And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, "Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman?" And he said, "I am." And Manoah said, "Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him?" And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, "Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine, nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I command her, let her observe." And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee." And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, "Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord." For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "What is thy name? And when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor." And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret?" Do you understand that he is speaking with God? We would call this a theophany of Christ, speaking with God. It's a secret, and it is a secret that his name is Jesus. It is a secret that he is the Son of God. He is the angel of the Lord. And they don't even realize that what's taking place here is they are literally being communicated by God face to face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, So Manoah took a kid, verse 19, with a meat offering and offered it up on a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Father, I pray tonight as we look at this portion of Scripture and the life of Manoah, Lord, that we understand that Manoah wanted to know the will of God. He desired to know what the angel of the Lord had said. He communicated with him. There was even a conference with them as the communication came along. Lord, we understand that this is a story that took place that was concerning the birth of Samson, and there was instructions that were given that were made very clear. And I pray, Lord, that we might understand tonight this, that God communicates with us and that God wants us to know the will of God, but it is we that must want to seek God and know His will. And I pray, Lord, tonight that we would just make an application from this passage of Scripture that we could use in our life even tonight. In Christ's name we ask, amen. You may be seated. Now you know what I have to do. I have to stand up here the whole time while y'all sit in those nice, comfortable, padded pews. Somebody say amen. That means I agree. You're not raising your hand, are you? Okay, I just want to make sure. I didn't know what you were doing there. I thought you were wanting to ask a question right there off the... Okay, so anyhow, focus, chasing too many squirrels here. I'm sure you've heard the statement, and I've heard this statement used, that the best ability is actually availability. And I believe that is still true to the sense that God is looking for people who desire to know His will. All right? We're not here tonight to fill space. We're not here tonight just to make sure that we check the blank that we came to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We are here that we might always continue to be learning what the Word of God says and how it can apply to our life. And in this passage of Scripture of the life of the judges, we are reminded that the culture is this. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. When there was no king in Israel, every man did that which was right in his eyes. We also know that there's a cycle that begins to take place in the life of Israel, and the cycle goes something like this. They disobey God, and because they disobey God, God brings an oppression upon them from a different group of people. And God raises up a judge, and then that judge comes and delivers them, and the circle continues to go on in the book of Judges. Now, in where we're at now, we're learning about the next judge, the seventh apostasy, the seventh time that this circle has gone, this cycle has taken us. And God is going to introduce us to a man named Samson. But before he does that, he's going to tell us about Samson's parents, Manoah, his father, and then the mother whose name is never mentioned. And we've learned that Samson was born to be a separated servant. And I do believe that all of God's servants are to be separated. But because, now listen, we learned last week in a very, very roundabout way what can take place if you're not obedient to God, and we used it on how to raise children incorrectly and how to raise children correctly. Now let me just tell you about your children. When they're little, let me just tell you something that you think that you know but you don't know. You think you know, you say things like, my kids will never do what so-and-so's kids does. Now, let me just tell you, be very, very careful about that. Because it is your responsibility to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's your responsibility to give them the correct example, not just by bringing them to church, but by living out the Christian life at home. Because the worst thing that you can do for your children is live one way during the week and another way on Sunday. That's hypocritical. Your children will see right through it. Kids are very perceptive and all of that. But the bottom line is, if you bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they still have a sin nature. They still have a will. And that will must line up with God if they're going to produce what God would have them to produce. And the bottom line is you don't know exactly how that's going to turn out. Now here's what you need to do. Seek the Lord. Pray for them. Pray for their salvation. Pray for the mate that God will one day give them. Beg God. But listen, live your life in such a way that God is pleased with the way you live so that they can follow in your footsteps in that sense. However, they still have to make their own choices. Now here we have Samson, we have his parents, and we have this idea that Manoah becomes available and he seeks the will of God. It's right in our text. Verse number 8 is kind of the central place that we're looking at, because Manoah, when his wife comes to him and says, "A man of God came to me and told me," Manoah said, entreated the Lord, and he said, "Oh, let the man of God which thou didst send come again," look at this, "and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." Verse number 9 says, "And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field." And so Manoah, they do not understand this, listen, that literally God is speaking to them face to face. Now, here's what I want to remind you about Samson before we get in. Because Samson did not live out his life the way God intended him to live, he was not going to be able to have his full potential. Remember 2 weeks ago the word potential was found in the life of Samson? And listen, potential is a word that we need to make sure that we do. We can do what God would have us to do. But here's what I want you to understand. Because Samson did not live his life separated as God had intended him, he never lived out his potential. And as a result, listen to this. The nation of Israel under the judgeship of Samson was never completed. And the oppression of the Philistines would not be done under the life of Samson. Samson would do great exploits against the Philistines. On his deathbed, if you would, when he took down the pillars where all of the king, all of the hierarchy Philistines were there, the Bible said he killed more in his death than he ever did when he lived. And he killed a lot of people, but he never eradicated the Philistines. He never got rid of them. And it would be King David that literally would deliver Israel from the Philistines. And as my calculations were, that's about, and I'm given an approximity, that'd be 100 years later. So meaning that if you and I will be available, and not just available to the things of God, not just available, but be willing to seek the will of God and know the will of God and do the will of God, it will cause those around us to be delivered from oppression, if you could use it like that. And there are people today that are dealing with the sins of their father and grandfather. And here's what I would say about that. Stop the insanity in your own life and change your family tree and make a choice that I want to know the will of God, but when I find the will of God, I don't want to just know the will of God. I want to do the will of God. And again, I take that from verse 8 where he says, and I do believe that Manoah wanted to know, what is it, Lord, that we're to do, and how is it that we're to raise this child. Now, Israel had done evil again in the sight of the Lord for the seventh time, and the Philistines are that thorn in the flesh, the thorn in the side. Remember what God said to Joshua and to the inhabitants of the land? You need to get rid of these people because they will assimilate themselves and they will be thorns in your side. And now there's the Philistines that are the thorn in the side of the nation of Israel. And literally, they become the tool of God's judgment. Now, last message, we looked at what happens if a child is spoiled, never told no, is allowed to live a life that is not pleasing to God, teaches sensuality. And listen, I'm telling you, there's families that sit in independent fundamental Baptist churches, and many times without even realizing it, they're teaching their kids sensuality. They allow their children to have anything on their phone, anything in their on the TV. Let me just tell you something. A child should not have a television in their room. They should not be able to have a phone with full access where there's no parental guidance, where there's no, where the parents don't know exactly where their children are going and what they're doing. And if you do that, if you don't do that, if you allow that to go on and just give carte blanche to your children, you're raising worldly kids, and you don't even think you know that. You don't even know it. Amen, preacher. I agree with that. So I'm going to say amen. Well, amen. That's good preaching, even if I'm doing it. Amen. And I ain't even got to the message tonight. Man, I'll go back to that message last week. So we go back tonight and we look at, as God comes to Noah's wife, promises her a son, gives her instructions that are clear, and the command for this boy is to be a separated servant is given very clearly. Now, here's what I like about the Bible. It ain't that hard to understand. Pretty simple. Most things are pretty much black and white when it comes to the Word of God. But can I say to you that God communicated with Manoah and his wife, and God's still communicating with us tonight. It's called the Word of God. It's inerrant. It's infallible. It is the Word of God. It's not a man's made-up book. It's not a figment of man's imagination. 40 old men didn't sit around smoking pot, and therefore it's just a book. No, it is the inspired, infallible, inspired Word of God. Yes, God used men to write it down. I understand that. But they were holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And even though God allowed them to use their personality and how they would say things and how they would write things, God allowed that to happen, but make no mistake about it, the Bible makes it very clear that God wrote the Bible. Amen. And if God wrote the Bible, then these are the words of God. Amen. And this is a book that will still be here a billion years from now. Because heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God shall never pass away. And my friend, this is a book where God communicates with us. And that's why in our disciplines that we found out, yes, we should read the Word of God. We should take it and read it, but we should also study it. Take it by a portion of Scripture. Look at the idea that God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. Do you understand that? That God hearkened to the voice of Manoah and said, I want you to make sure that you understand my revelation is clear. Now, my friend, God speaks, and when He speaks, we need to listen. And it ain't just E.F. Hutton, if you remember that one back in the 70s. When E.F. Hutton speaks, if you go look it up, it's probably on YouTube, everything is. But when God speaks, we need to listen. Because His words are eternal. And I want you to know that God communicated in different ways. Now, if you'll remember back in Hebrews, when we studied the book of Hebrews, or we're now in Hebrews chapter 11, but in Hebrews chapter number 1, when God was writing the book of Hebrews to the Hebrews, remember? And here they are in the New Testament, and they're dealing with this Judaism, this idea that the sacrifices at the temple are no longer needed. Why? Because Jesus is better than all of the sacrifices. Jesus is the one sacrifice. The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ does. So Jesus is better. And so, but they're dealing with this. And this is a transition for them. And so the Apostle Paul was called upon to write this book to these people who are going through many things, tribulations and all this. And James writes to the people of the Hebrew people too. But remember what he said in chapter 1? If you don't, I'm going to remind you. In chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, he said this: God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. All right, so God said, now listen, I sent prophets to you, Jeremiah, Isaiah. Man, you read through the book of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and he, listen, you're talking about having an unfruitful ministry, but yet he had a fruitful ministry. And what I mean by that, he was faithful to tell those people that if you don't repent, you're going to go into Babylonian captivity. Did they listen? No. No, their response basically was to throw Jeremiah in a pit and say, how you like that? Let me throw you some bread down there, and why don't you chew on that a while? That's I'm telling you. But he continued to be faithful, and he spoke through the prophets. But in verse 2, in this idea of communication, he said to the Hebrews, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of God, majesty on high. Now, if you think about what he just said there, and then read this, where John comes on the scene and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Word of God. This is the express image of God. This is God's heart. This is what God has. Listen, this book will tell you how to raise your children. It'll tell you how to be saved. God communicates with us through the Word of God. That's why we need to understand that when God communicated with Manoah in verse number 6 and 7, the woman said, God came to me. A man of God came. His countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very terrible. But I didn't ask him where he came from. I didn't want to know what his name was. Well, by the way, he ain't going to tell you his name. It's a secret. But here's what he said in verse 7. He communicated to me. And he said, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And here's what God said. Drink no wine, strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb till the day of his death. Now, when God says something, he's not saying it just to say it. He's saying it because it needs to be lived. Now, God communicated directly. I think I said this in Sunday school this morning, but sometimes people actually say things, well, I wish God would communicate with me like that. Listen, my friend, God's communicated with us greater than that. Because they got one snippet, and then the Bible says when they did the sacrifice, and I'm not even going to preach about that because there's a lot in that right there. But when they did the sacrifice, and when the offering was consumed, the angel of the Lord went up in the flame with it. Now that'd mess you up. And then they realized we just were communicated not with just a man of God, but God himself. And I want you to understand to this, God still speaks today through the Word of God. Now, God gives us creation. God gives us a conscience. He does. But he gave us special revelation so that we can know what to do. And we have God's revelation given to us. And we can read it and study it and apply it. And God wants to communicate with us. God does communicate with us. Here's the problem is. We need to be willing to listen to what he has to say. Amen. Now, folks, you can come to church each and every week and not desire to know what God wants. It's very easy. It happens. But look at verse number 8. I want you to see this. This is the verse that I get where we need to be available for God and we need to seek God, because Manoah entreats the Lord. He goes in prayer and he said, "Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." You know what Manoah is doing? Manoah says, "God, here I am. Communicate with me. I want to do what I'm supposed to do." Now, when a person is saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And we should never forget that. And He is able to illuminate our minds to the Word of God. But the Bible still means what it says and says what it means. And when a person, listen to this, I think this is so important. When a person has a desire to know what God wants, God will communicate when you seek Him. Manoah was available and sought God. Now, I told this in Sunday school, but it bears repeating, and so too bad if you're in my Sunday school class. I got saved in April 1984. And I tell the same stories anyway, so it's like when I die, y'all go, "Yeah, he told the same stories," and so here's one of them. But it's relevant as an illustration. And that is, when I got saved, I wanted to eat the Bible. I wanted to digest the Word of God. Me and Brother Householder were just talking in the office today. I mean, when I got saved, I laid everything aside that I'd ever done. I wasn't even sure what if I was okay to eat a hamburger. You say, "Now, preacher, you're going nuts." No, you don't understand. I'm telling you, I wanted to make sure that I dressed right. I wanted to make sure that I did right. I wanted to make sure my attitude was right. Because, man, before I got saved, I'd just soon knock you in the head. But then I found out you're not really supposed to do that. And the first people that came to me was the charismatics. I mean, right away. I mean, it was just like that. Because what happened was when I got saved on a Monday, Sunday night, actually it was a Monday morning about 2:30 in the morning. Oh man, it was like wrestling with God. And I'm glad my will became His will, and I'm glad I gave up and I got saved. Amen. I laid down, went to sleep. I came back to bed. I woke up my wife and I scared her to death. I said, "Listen, first person I witnessed to was my wife. I said, I just got saved." She goes, "Just now?" I said, "Well, actually about 15 minutes ago in the living room," I said, "I was in there." It was like I was in there wrestling with God. And I'm telling you, the message from before that Wally Williams had preached and all of the things that were going on, I just couldn't take it no more, because I felt like if I didn't get saved right then, I was going to die and go to hell. That's how I felt. And when God saved me, the burden was lifted. I went in and I told my wife. Basically, I witnessed to her. She got saved the next day, praise God. But it wasn't a week that, the very next day I go into work. The very next day, I've told this, the very next day I got up on a chair and I was in the lunchroom, and I stood up on a chair in the lunchroom, and it was a contracting center that the Air Force had, which means all these buyers worked in this contracting center on Fort Sam Houston, and yet we bought for all these Air Force bases in town. And I said, hey, I heard a guy over here go, "Abel's got another joke," because I was a big jokester and I still like humor. And I said, and here's what I said. I said, "I want everybody in this room to know that this morning I got saved." And it was like in Texas, if you ever go into your kitchen in the middle of the night and turn it on, there's roaches. If you're in a bad part, they go like this when you turn the light on. When I said I got saved, and if anybody wants to talk to me about it, I mean, everybody left the lunchroom. Except the next day, couple charismatic people came to me. Yep. Said, "So you got saved?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "Have you spoken in tongues yet?" I said, "No." "Well, yeah, I did. I spoke in new tongues." They said, "Yeah." I said, "Before I got saved, I said things I shouldn't say. And ever since I got saved, I hadn't said those things." And I'm going to tell you something. For me personally, I could not say the things that I had previously said. They wouldn't come out of my mouth. It was like God said, "I'm not going to let you say that stuff anymore," and I couldn't say it anymore. And it was a glory hallelujah. Now, there was a lot of other things I had to learn. But the point I'm trying to make is these people came to me and they told me I needed to speak in tongues and that I needed to be baptized by the Holy Ghost. And here I am, a brand new Christian, and I didn't know, but I didn't feel easy about it. You know why? Because my spirit didn't bear witness with their spirit, and I didn't understand that all at the time because I just got saved. Everybody with me?
Amen.
So here's what I did. I went and got me a Strong's Concordance. I already had a King. Actually, I got a King James Bible because I used to tote around a New Living Bible that was deader than a hammer.
Yeah.
There wasn't living in it. It was dead.
Right.
I got me an authorized King James Version of the Bible. I got me a blank piece of paper. I got a Strong's Concordance. I got a Bible dictionary because nobody had told me about the 1828 dictionary yet,
which
they should have. Where were those people at? And I started studying. I went to every place where that Holy Ghost, baptism, speaking in tongues. And 3 weeks later, I went to those people and told them they were a bunch of liars. And the truth was not in them. And they told me that I was blaspheming the Holy Ghost. I said, oh, no. No, I'm not blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You're the one that's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And, brother, it was on. It got on, if you could just understand what I'm saying. You know why? Because I found out what does the Bible say. And you know why I found out what the Bible said? Because I wanted to know what the Bible said. Do you know why some people can never know what the Bible says? Because they don't have a desire to know what the Bible says. And so they want to argue with you about this is what the Bible says. And there's why people come to my office and say, well, I've got a new way. There ain't no new way. Listen to me. We're an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. We've been doing the same things for the last 2,000 years. Our doctrine has not changed. The Word of God has not changed. You just listen to some yahoo that tried to tell you something that ain't got anything to do with being an independent Baptist. And listen to me, you can come into this church, but we're not going to change. Did you hear what I said? We ain't going to change. We're going to keep the same doctrines that we've always had. We're going to continue to preach the Word of God. And you're not going to bring in some charismatic doctrine. You're not going to bring in some Calvinism. You're not going to sit in this church and tell me this is the way it's going to be. No, Bubba, it's not. Hit the highway. I don't want that to happen because I want people to learn what the Bible says. But you got to study that. Excuse me, I got stuck over here. But you got to understand something. You got to be available and seek the Word of God. Manoah entreated of the Lord and said, I want to know. And God said, okay, then I'll show you. Because if you really want to know, my friend, God will show you.
Amen.
One of the ways that He shows you is actually putting you in a church that'll preach the Bible.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Wow, what a concept. Lord, I want to know the truth. Okay, well, let me put you over here. And you go in there and you sit and you listen to what God says. And by the way, it takes a while. Everything ain't learned overnight. But if you've been here 3 or 4 years, you should be able to get the idea about what's going on. I don't want people to come in and join the church after 1 or 2 or 3 months if they don't understand. I want them to learn. But once you yoke up with us, you need to be headed in the same direction that we're headed. Manoah found himself available, and he found himself seeking the will of God. And I'm going to tell you something. It's amazing to me to read about some missionary that has been called by God to go to a mission field, and it doesn't matter where it is, to the regions beyond, and then that missionary trains to be a missionary. He is approved and ordained by a church, which is what, because you cannot just do it on your own. There's no such thing as a free moral agent, no. There has to be a church that sees the call of God on your life. There has to be a church that knows that you have sought the will of God and you're doing the will of God. But I'm getting past all, I know that. So he finally gets to the mission field and he goes out into the highways and hedges and he may come up to a door. And this has happened, and there's stories that validate this. To go to a place, and it can be a hut in the middle of a jungle in some foreign land, and when the preacher gets there and goes to talk about the guy's actually said something like this, well, I've been waiting on you.
Right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I've been seeking. I knew there was a God, but I did not know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And God will actually do that. If you want to know the will of God, brother, if you want to seek God, God will show up. And when I ask God, listen, and this is just me, but when I ask God, God, show me. He goes, okay, get your Bible. Study the Bible. Study it. Take all these words. And you know what I found out? And I'm still finding this out. The greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. So let me remind you this. The Holy Ghost ain't never baptized anybody.
That's right.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, now preacher, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. When I got, no, you didn't. That ain't in the Bible. Now, it sounds good. You know why? Because the Protestants have been teaching that kind of nonsense for so many years, people believe it. It's like fake news. They think that if they say it long enough and loud enough and get enough people to corroborate it, then everybody's going to believe it. Well, you can believe it, but it ain't in the Bible.
Yeah.
And I've had missionaries, when I tell them that, they go, well, I'll have to study this. That's a great idea, brother. If you need any help, call me back, all right? But go and look at these scriptures. And here's what I'm saying. Manoah wanted to know the will of God. So you know what God did? He came back. And he said, well, if you want to know the will of God, it hadn't changed. I already told your wife. You should listen to your wife. This is one time when Manoah should have gone, okay, honey, I hear what you're saying, honey, but oh, my wife. Yeah, she claims that God came to her. And so now I'm not being funny, but seriously, Manoah goes, Lord, I really want to know. And he goes, okay, well, I'll come back. And he told her again, and she runs and gets her husband and comes back, and the man of God, which is the angel of God, which is actually God himself, communicates the truth.
Right.
And you know what God wants to do tonight? He wants to communicate the truth to you.
Amen.
But guess what? You got to want to know it.
Amen.
You got to have a desire.
Right.
So when you come to church, your prayer should be, Lord, teach me something. Give me something. Because Manoah said, I want to know. I want to know. And we need to be available. You know, thinking about this, Manoah seeking and asking for God to make himself known. When he said in verse number 8, the word entreat, then Manoah entreated the Lord. The word entreat means to ask earnestly, to beseech, and to pray with urgency. Listen, that's what we need tonight. We need to entreat the Lord, ask earnestly, beseech, and to pray with urgency, because God will use the person who is willing to listen and willing to be available. Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. Abraham was willing to surrender his own son. Ananias was willing but scared to speak with Saul just after the salvation of Saul. Availability is the ability to add strength or worth to another person. It is being ready to contribute your strength and your talent to another. What are we saying here? You need to be available to God. Availability, by the way, is an attitude. It says, I am willing to serve other people. We need to be available to give answers to other people. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. You don't know who's going to come to you this week. And let me tell you something. Here's what we cannot do for the rest of our life. Well, let me get back with you on that. I need to go ask my pastor. Now, that's okay when you're a young Christian. But brother, when somebody knows you've been saved for 15, 20, 25 years, you go to an independent Baptist church, when they ask you of the reason of hope within you, you should be able to say, here's what the Bible says. And how can you do that? Because you've sought the Bible. You've desired to have it. But if you don't have any desire, man, it'll be hard to witness. It's getting quiet in here. We need to be available to witness. We need to be available to give our testimony of salvation. I think of what Paul said when he was writing to the Romans. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Do you know the available person? I know this is kind of a side note, but an available person is also flexible. He's willing to go where God would have him to go. He's willing to do what God would have him to do. He's willing to move where God would send him. Hey, come on now. Jonah was not available. I just read through Jonah again this week. He was not ready to serve where God had called him. His attitude was not very good toward the Ninevites. How are you going to be an effective preacher to the Ninevites if you don't want to go there? Well, his attitude was not favorable to the people that God wanted him to preach to. God had a little meeting with him, sent him to Whale College. Man, I'm telling you, I thought I wanted to go on a cruise. Sounded so much fun. Eating all that food. I mean, I'm just thinking, I'm going to try to lose like 10 pounds so I can gain 13. Because I'd heard all this. Son, I got on that boat and that thing started rocking back and forth and I realized why I went into the Air Force. These Navy people, man, there's something wrong with them. That thing was, everybody had said, oh, you'll never feel it. I felt it! My wife had a little patch behind her ear, you know. She was going to wear this little patch behind her ear. And she goes, you want me to get you one? Nah, I don't need one. Oh, and so now I'm laying there, can I get one of them patches? And here's what I thought, literally. I'm laying there thinking, man, I spent all this money. I'm sick as a dog. And then I thought this, man, wonder what it was like for Jonah. Because here's what the Bible says. Now think about Jonah. He goes, he went down and he went up. And that guy, that whale has a backslidden prophet in his belly. And that's got to be sour stomach. Man, he was going up and down and flipping around. And when he couldn't have it no more, right up on the... And the Bible said he had seaweed on him and stuff. Mercy. Might have to take some Pepto-Bismol when I go home just thinking about it. He had a bad attitude. The Great Commission is one that demands availability and flexibility. Manoah was available. Lord, entreat. He entreated the Lord. He said, Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again. Teach us. Teach us. God communicated with him. And when a child of God has an earnest desire to know God's will for his life, the direction will come from God. Verse 12 through 14, I believe you'll see a character and attitude of Manoah. And I think it's that he wants to know the will of God. Because Manoah says, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. And then he says it again. And it's not like it's going to change. I'm always amazed that when you ask God something the second time, it's not going to change. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing that I command her, let her observe. Now, folks, one of the things that the Bible has been revealed to us, it's this. This is a great revelation right here. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what we need to understand right there. God doesn't want people to die and go to hell, but how are they going to hear the gospel unless somebody be sent? Do you realize tonight that there are some people that you can reach that I'll never be able to reach? There are people that God has placed in your life and crossed your path that probably won't cross my path, but it doesn't change. There's people that I've crossed my path and people that I have met that I must be a witness to. Why? Because I know it is the will of God that people be saved. It is the will of God. Listen to me. I'm not going to oversimplify this. But it is the will of God that when a person gets saved, that they follow the Lord in baptism and connect themselves with one of the Lord's churches. So therefore, the Bible is foreign to anything about getting saved and doing my own thing. Home church ain't in the Bible. Responsibility to a local visible assembly is all through the New Testament. Because every epistle in the epistle is not the apostles' wives. They're letters written to churches to tell them how to behave and what to do. And here's what I want you to understand tonight. God's will is found in the Bible. What we need is to entreat the Lord and say, Lord, teach us what we shall do. And if we do, He'll show you through the Word of God. Let's stand tonight. I hope you understand tonight the challenges that God still communicates through the Word of God. And we need to reciprocate that communication by seeking God's will, making ourselves available, entreating the Lord, desiring to know God's will, and then when God gives that direction, we do what God says. Now here's the question tonight. Are we available? Or listen, I'll do anything God calls me to do or tells me to do except then you've not surrendered to the perfect will of God. Because God wants everything. He wants your whole being. He wants everything about you. Lord, I pray tonight that we would be people that would want to know the will of God through the Word of God. God, I pray that we would be people as our disciplines have taught us in the studying, in the reading, in the corporate worship around the Word of God, in preaching, Bible study, Sunday school, and then our own personal study. Lord, that we might know the will of God. And Manoah said that he entreated the Lord and said, Lord, teach us, right there in the text, that he wanted to make sure that he was doing God's will. And Lord, I pray that every person would get on their face before God tonight and say this, Lord, I want to do your will. Show it to me, and then let me do it. In Christ's name we ask, amen. What are we going to sing, John?
483.
483, I surrender all. 483. We'll sing a couple verses tonight. Do business with God as God would speak to your heart tonight.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I free.
Do you have a desire? Are you entreating the Lord?
I will ever love
God, show me Thy will.
And trust Him.
Open up the Bible.
His presence
there
daily.
It is.